Father, in my heart I've already prayed it, but I pray it every communion. Father, if we've sinned by word, deed, thought, action, if we've grieved, vexed, or quenched the Holy Spirit in any way, Lord, all of us, your family, your sons and daughters, those that you've adopted and cleansed, we boldly run to the throne of grace and ask you to cleanse us from each and every sin. Lord, things that we know of and things that we know not of, that we may stand before you tonight and hold that cup and take that bread in a worthy manner and not be guilty of the body of Christ. Lord, tonight help me to teach your word faithfully and accurately. And Lord, if there's ever been a night, the body of Christ needs refreshing. It is tonight, Lord. How we need a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit of God, where you visit your people, Lord, that you rend the heavens and you come down and visit your people, the church, Lord, purchased with the blood of your own Son. Oh, Father, help us tonight. Visit us tonight. Touch us tonight as we reach out and touch you, desiring that intimacy. Now, Lord, I beg you tonight to meet the need of every person in this chapel and every person listening live. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Well, you could turn there, but you'd be in the wrong book. Exodus tonight. We're going to cover chapter 5 and 6, the Lord willing. And Exodus, remember, this wonderful book that we've started now, is about the way out. That's what Exodus means. It means the departure, the way out of slavery and the way out of bondage, the way out of sin. And there's only one way out of Egypt. There's only one way out of the world. And there's only one way, and that's to follow God. Amen? And sometimes when we're in bondage, you know, God takes us out of bondage and then we go through what we call the wilderness experience. But the wilderness experience of this world always leads us to the land of Canaan, and Canaan to us is going to be heaven. Amen? So we look to the Lord tonight. So Exodus is the story of redemption, how God brings his people out by the Passover lamb. By the blood and so forth. So remember that Moses is no longer on the backside of the desert. We left him there last week. And he's no longer tending sheep. He met God. He met God at the burning bush. And it says in chapter 3, 18 through 22, remember that God gives Moses the entire plan of redemption and deliverance before it ever happens. 266 audible words from God. And we left off with Moses and Aaron telling the children of Israel God's plan. There in chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. God is going to make sure tonight, or actually through these next few chapters, all the way over to chapter 12, he's actually through chapter 14, but he's going to make sure, God's going to make sure that Pharaoh and all of Egypt know two things. The first thing he's going to make known to them is Exodus 7:5, where God says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." They're going to find out that God is real. The second thing is found in Exodus 8:23, where God says, "I will make a difference between my people and your people," meaning the people of Egypt. There's a big difference between the lost and the saved. Amen? Tonight, God is going to tell Moses, to tell Pharaoh, to let my people go. And that's what it's all about tonight. Now let's move from there to the court of Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, and let's begin. It says, "Afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel.'" I love that. The Lord God of Israel, not the God, you know, Israel belongs to the Lord. Amen? And it says, look what he says. He's going to say this phrase seven times throughout the scripture, throughout Exodus. He says, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Moses is 80 years of age, and Aaron, his brother, is 83. Man, don't tell me God can't use you. Amen? Think about that for a minute. I mean, by then people say, "I can't be used for anything. The only thing I'm good for is the lazy boy." No, God says your ministry can be beginning at any age in your life. God is a living God. He wants to use you, and He will use you. He'll do anything if you will just say, "Here I am, Lord." And so He takes these two old fellows, if you will, and He went into Pharaoh. And remember now, Pharaoh is considered to be a god by his people, all right? And so He goes in there, and he opens up with this: "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Pharaoh, listen very carefully. I have a message from God. Let my people go. Let my people go." There's not going to be a debate. We're not going to have a negotiation. I want all 2 million plus. They all belong to me. He says, "I want you to loose them right now." And God says, "They are my people. They do not belong to you. They're not your people." And my people, God says, they're not going to serve you anymore. They're going to go into the wilderness, and they're going to serve me. Don't you know that God loves to give a new beginning? Amen. Do you know his every day's a new beginning for us? Amen. The grace of God is that big, that strong, that glorious, that every day of your life can be a new beginning. And God says, it's going to be a new beginning for my people. And the way God's taking them out, the Exodus, the way out of Egypt. And here the children of Israel had been in slavery so long, most of them now had been born into slavery. And you know what? We were born as slaves. Did you know that? Amen. We came into this world screaming and crying and whatever. And you know what? We were born into slavery, to the slave of sin, to the slave of the God of this world, which is Satan, and didn't even know it. And thank God, we who were dead in trespasses and sins, He hath made alive. We're a new creation in Christ tonight. Old things have passed away, and I'm so thankful for that. Jesus has redeemed us. So God says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Well, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go?" Look what Pharaoh says. He says, "I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." In other words, this God of yours, Moses, I don't know Him, this God of Israel. I don't know His voice. And not only that, He has no authority over me, no authority at all. And remember that He said, remember what God had already told Moses? He said, "He's not going to let you go." And Moses should have remembered that. He should have held on to that when he walked into the court of Pharaoh. And so, who is the Lord? That's the most important question any man can ever ask. Who is God? Who is the Lord? Aren't you glad that you know who the Lord is tonight? Oh, pray for our young people. Pray for young believers today. You know, I was talking with a pastor on the phone this afternoon, and how he was informing me of something I've already informed you about, how so many kids, they leave the youth groups of the churches and leave mom and dad and go off to college, and one out of four fall away. Think about that. One out of five fall away, or four out of five rather fall away. That's horrible. They need to know who the Lord is. Amen. They need to know who the Lord is, just not mama and daddy's Lord. They need to know who the Lord is. Egypt has about 3,000 gods at that time, and Pharaoh's about to learn who the true and living God is. And may I tell you something? One day this entire world, and it may be sooner than we know, one day that the whole world will know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It says in verse 3 then, it says, "And so they said, well, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." So they say to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, we must obey the voice of our God. It's important that we do that." And then the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor." And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor." So look what happened. So the same day, immediately after this conversation, Pharaoh's heart is so hardened and so twisted. So on the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. In other words, the children of Israel, they have too much time on their hands. They're not working hard enough. Therefore, they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. In other words, Moses and Aaron, there's just a bunch of fairy tales, a bunch of myths that they're spreading to the people. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Get yourselves straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. Thus saith Pharaoh. You know what? In just a few chapters, in just a few weeks, this Pharaoh, this king of Egypt, his whole world is going to be turned upside down. I'm talking about his entire world. And you know what? The land of Egypt is going to be all but destroyed. And he says, but thus saith Pharaoh. All he had to do was to let God's people go. But he couldn't. He wouldn't. His heart was so hard. He was not born again. He had nothing to do with God. And so he really thought that the children of Israel were his people. And so the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. Can you see that picture of that, how horrible that was? And the taskmasters, look what they did. They forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. And also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Church, listen to me. The way out, when it's horrible, when you swear you don't know what to do, when it feels like everything is against you and darkness is surrounding you, perhaps your strength is just gone, you just don't know what to do. Listen, maybe you're making bricks like they were, trying to make something happen and you don't have the right material. You follow me? And you're just under the gun and everything is bad. Let me tell you something. That's when God is there. God is doing something. Don't, as you hear me say often, and I say this to you often, I say it to me often. Don't let circumstances, situations hide God from you. That's exactly what the devil wants. Whenever the heat is on and the hotter it is in the kitchen, I think, God, what are you doing? Whenever there seems to be no way out, I'm going, God, I know there's a way out. I know there's a way out, and I am going to keep watching for the open door. I am not going to watch what I see. I know I'm not denying what I see, but you know what? I'm going to look to you. You're the author. You're the finisher of my faith. As I say all the time, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I am going to put my eye on God. I'm going to put my eye on the solution, not the problem. I'm going to look to Jesus. And I'm going to look at my circumstance, and you need to look at your circumstance eye to eye. And you need to stand in faith, believing God, trusting God, no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter the time or the day. You just simply trust the Lord. And then the officers of Pharaoh, the children of Israel, came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, well, listen, why are you dealing thus with your servants? There's no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, make brick? And indeed, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. You know, look back at chapter 4 and look at verse 31, the very last verse. Now let's just go to verse 30. It says, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses about how they were going to deliver them, how God was going to deliver his people, and did signs in the sight of the people. Now look what happened. So the people believed And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. It says that they believed. It says that they worshiped. Do you know in verse 15 and 16, your servants was mentioned three times? In other words, they didn't believe. They didn't know what was going on. And so God was working, yet they didn't believe. Listen, here's what I found out. Whenever I do not have the power, the strength, the wisdom to deliver myself, God is at the door. He's at the door. And you have to look to the Lord, knowing that, Lord, I have no remedy. I have no way out. I cannot tell you in my walk with the Lord, and you would testify the same, how many times God has come to you and saved you at the last moment when you thought there was no way out, and he says, oh, why were you afraid? Oh, ye of little faith, why were you doubting? Don't you know that I love you, that I died for you, that you're my people? Don't you know that I'm going to set you free? Don't you know that? God says to the people of Pharaoh, he says, you listen to me. Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go. You don't mess with the people of God. Amen? And that's what he's saying here. And he said, but he said, well, you're idle. And therefore they say, well, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore, go now and work, for no straw will be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble. And after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron who stood before them. And they said to them, meaning they spoke to Moses and Aaron, he said, let the Lord look on you, Moses, and judge you, because you have made us stink. That word abhorrent means stink. You've made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants. You put a sword in their hand to kill us. Now look what Moses does. He doesn't run to anyone but God. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to the people, and neither have you rescued or delivered your people at all. You know, again, Moses forgot, and it's easy to forget what God told him earlier, that Moses, that Pharaoh, his heart was going to be hard, that he only by a strong hand can I bring them out. He's not going to let the people go. And so Moses goes, why, Lord, why? Why is this happening? You know, anybody's called to the ministry said that. You understand? Why, Lord? Why? I said, you know, I thought things would be a lot different. You know, I thought, you know, my gosh, you'd be on TV by now or something, you know. Lord, I mean, what's going on here? This is some tough stuff. Ministry's hard. But see, here Moses' heart's breaking because he's going, Lord, listen, look what's happening to your people now. They're worse off now than they were before I got here. And he says, you know, just because I went to Pharaoh and now I've increased the people's burden. And it's not letting up. It's actually getting worse. You know, we have to walk by faith, don't we? I mean, we have to walk. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. We have to trust the Lord no matter what we're facing in our life. And look what happened. And then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Don't you like the Lord? I mean, I love that. He says, hey, wake up, Moses. You know, don't fall apart on me. Everything's going to be okay. I've got everything under control. I'm the man that talked you out of the burning bush. Remember, everything's all right. Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, and may I say, and you shall see out there what God will do to your circumstance and to your problem. He says, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land. So, in other words, Moses, don't be discouraged. I know that you're frail. I know that you're but dust. I know the way it is. Just keep your eyes open and you'll see. And let me say something. That strong hand that they're talking about, it doesn't belong to Pharaoh. That strong hand belongs to our God. Amen. And so in verse 2 it says, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, he says, I am the Lord. You know, God has a way of encouraging us. And it's always directed, our encouragement is always directed by looking to Him. Have you noticed that? He's saying, Moses, look, I am the Lord. That word there means I am Jehovah, or we say Jehovah or Yahweh. In other words, he's saying, listen, Moses, don't you understand? I'm without beginning. I'm without end. I'm uncaused. I'm the eternal one. I have everything that you will ever need. I am independent of all things. I need absolutely nothing. I am the Lord. And that's what he's saying. In other words, Moses, I am the only source of redemption for anyone. Only I can redeem. I am the Lord. And he says, and I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as El Shaddai. Remember, God Almighty, the God who is more than enough, the God who says, if I don't have it, I'll just simply make it for you. I'm El Shaddai. But my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. So he's encouraging Moses. Moses, listen, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew me, of course, but they knew me primarily as God Almighty. In other words, El Shaddai, the provider. In other words, Jehovah Jireh, God shall provide. They knew me as that. God is now revealing himself to Moses in a deeper way. He's saying, listen, I'm not only your sustainer. I'm not only your provider. I'm not only just God Almighty. I am the Lord. The Lord meaning I'm the one who keeps all of my promises because I cannot lie. I am the one who redeems. And he says, I have also heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And look what he says. And I have remembered my covenant, the covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God says he took the children of Israel. Now listen, there they are. They're in bondage. They're helpless. They're hopeless. They don't even have any faith. And they're nothing but a bunch of slaves. And you know what God did? It wasn't based on anything that they did. It was based on all that he did. Amen? That's what grace is all about. That's what redemption is all about. And so God looks at Moses and what we have in front of us are called the seven I wills of the Lord, okay? And he says, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. In other words, bring out that new name to them. He says, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Listen to me. We cannot deliver ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? I needed God to deliver me. I couldn't win against sin. I needed Jesus to pay for my sin. Amen? See, the burdens of the Egyptian, the burden of the world that we live in right now, the burden of this horrible world. But God, he has borne our burden. He's taken our burden. He loves us. Oh, and sin is such a heavy burden. Shame is such a heavy burden. And you know what? It was all placed on Jesus. Thank God for that. Thank God it's no longer ours. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 38:4, it says, my guilt, meaning my sin, David cries, overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. And sin is a burden too heavy to bear. That's why we need to come unto Jesus. Amen. Give it all to him all the time. You know, his burden is light. Amen. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. He says, I will, another I will. He says, I will rescue you from their bondage. You're no longer going to be slaves. I will redeem you. How does he redeem them? Remember, with the Passover lamb in Exodus 12. And he says, I'll do it with an outstretched arm. In other words, you're going to see all of my power and with great judgments, plural. Boy, I'll tell you, Egypt and Pharaoh, they are in trouble. Next Wednesday night, when we start going through the plagues, it's unbelievable. God says, hey, I haven't changed. I'm still the rescuer and I'm still the redeemer to all who call upon me. He says, I will take you as my people. Don't you just love that? God says, I love slaves. I love to take slaves and make them free. Amen. He says, I'll be your God, and he's our God tonight. That means relationship. That means intimacy. He's adopted us. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God. We're sons and daughters. And then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So God, how he desires an intimate relationship with us, not a legal relationship. Aren't you glad you don't have a legal relationship with God? But you can have an intimate relationship with God. And you know something else? Even when you come to the Lord and you're worn out, even sometimes if you're ever just, you're awake in the morning, you get up and you're still worn out from the night before. And you say, Lord, I'm here I am to pray, and you don't really say a word. You think God beats you up because of that? No, he's your Father. He knows you're tired sometimes. He knows that you're worn out. Don't have a legal relationship with the Lord. You know, sometimes I just sit there. I just sit on my desk chair where I pray, and I just say, Lord, I don't know what to say. Can I just sing to you? Can I just whistle or whatever? Lord, here I am. You speak to me. You help me. I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to pray for these people or the people that I have on my list. Right, I don't know what to say. Lord, I'm just going to sit. I just want to have intimacy. May we have fellowship, Lord. Would you touch me? Would you strengthen me? Would you wash me? Oh God, be real to me tonight. Be real to me. Where is the supernaturalness and the here-ness and now-ness of God? Oh God, manifest yourself to me like you manifested yourself to Moses. Be so real to me, Lord, tonight, because my troubles and my heartaches and the things that I've gone through, they've tried to hide you from me. I want that fellowship. I want that intimacy. I want to walk in the light as you're in the light and have fellowship with one another. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship, into the intimacy, the koinonia, the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need God to make an impact on us. You see, Egypt had made an impact on the people of God, the world. And that's what the world is doing again today. The world is making such an impact upon the children of God. We don't need the world in the church. We don't need the world's methods. Amen? We have the living God. We have God Almighty. We have the Lord. We don't need anything else. We have everything that we need. Even if this whole world fell apart right now, do you not think that God could still not guide us by a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day? We could walk through this world while the world is falling apart, and our clothes would never wear out, just like the children of Israel when they went through the wilderness. The shoes never worn out. Listen, and when we get thirsty, go over there and just hit a rock. Amen? God says, I'm going to take care of you. If I have to bring manna down from heaven, I'm going to take care of you. You are my people. And he says, I want you to let my people go. I don't want you in bondage to the world. I don't want you in bondage to your fears. I don't want you in bondage to anything. I don't want the world to make an impact upon you. I want the Spirit of God to make an impact upon you. And he says, I'm going to bring you into the land, meaning Canaan, which I swore to give to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. And he tells us why. He says, I am the Lord. And so Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. Oh, and look what happened. But they did not heed Moses. Why? Because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. In other words, they said, Moses, you know what? We believed you once, but you know what? Look where it got us. We believed that God was going to deliver us, and look what the taskmasters and Pharaoh are now doing to us. You know, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. Their suffering, their anguish destroyed their faith. That's why I said a moment ago that we can't let that happen to us. Amen? That no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, whether we're having a great time or not, don't let anything steal your faith. Unbelief is a thief. It'll rob you. He says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, go in and tell tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of this land. And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. In other words, I don't speak well, Lord. Don't you know that? I mean, I've already been down this road twice that you told me to go to Pharaoh. And look at these horrible results. He said, I'm the reason that that my people are all in bondage right now. It gets worse and worse. And he said, it's like Moses was saying, don't you remember, Lord, I told you last week that, you know, I was slow of speech and slow of tongue. Don't you remember that? You know, what's Moses doing? He's looking at himself again. He's not looking at God. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and look what he did. He commanded them. He gave them a command, no negotiation, a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He's commanding them both to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So the command, let my people go. I am not asking, I am telling you, their brick-making days are over. And what a joy that would be, amen, when those troubles are all behind you. Now listen very carefully. There's getting ready to be a divine interruption that so many people pass over, okay? And this interruption is not really an interruption in our narrative, but there's a genealogy. All of a sudden, the Lord just puts right in there. And, you know, I looked at that, and I nearly skipped over it. And I said, well, Lord, why would you do that? And I kept, and, you know, whenever you ask that question, you need to really pray. You understand? God doesn't make mistakes. So he's putting that. I said, why would you put this in here? Why this genealogy that is, I can't pronounce their names, Lord? And it's kind of boring to read, to be honest with you. But it has vast importance. So I'm just going to touch on a few verses. It says in verse 14, God says, now listen, he said, now these are the heads of their father's houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. And he gives all these names. He says, now these are the families of Reuben. And then there's the sons of Simeon, and they list all the names there. And he said, now these are the family of Simeon. Now remember, those were Jacob's two oldest boys, okay? And then in verse 16, it goes, now these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations. And he tells of the three sons. And then he says, and the years of the life of Levi were 137. Now God is doing something, and he's doing something for us too. You see, Levi, was Jacob's third son, if I remember correctly. And Moses and Aaron now, who are brothers, of course, they're ancestors of the tribe of Levi, because these three sons that are listed here, they're the ones, remember, that are going to take the tabernacle through the wilderness and so forth. And then it says in verse 20, skip down to verse 20, it says, now Amram took for himself Jehochabed, his father's sister, as wife. Actually, it'd be his father's cousin. And she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. Now, I don't know why Miriam, his sister, Moses' sister, is not listed. I don't know why. And it's also interesting here about Aaron. Did you notice that Moses' life was the only one in jeopardy? Not Aaron's. So that tells me that Pharaoh's decree to put all the male children to death happened way after Aaron, because Aaron is 3 years older than his brother Moses. And so in verse 21, he gives the names of all the families here again. And there's two guys in here, Nadab and Abihu. Remember those? They're going to die later on. Remember, because they offer strange fire up unto the Lord. And it says these are the family of the Korathites. And then it says in verse 25, and then Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters, and he goes on through there, bore Phinehas. These are the heads of the father of the Levites according to their family. So it's interesting that Moses' wife, Zipporah, she's not anywhere in this genealogy. Now verse 26, let's get to our text. Now watch what God's doing. He says, these are the same. These are the same Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. Why did God do that? Why did he all of a sudden say, here's a genealogy? He's talking to Moses. He's listing all this. Why did God record this? But he said, these are your credentials, son. He said, you're from the tribe of Levi. These are your credentials right here. And in other words, this is the authority for you to bring out the children of Israel, not only because I've commanded you, but because of the lineage that you are in. So when God said, let my people go, he makes a list. Now, that's not an exhaustive list by any means, but he makes a list here. And you know what he's doing? He's saying, Moses, listen very carefully. These are my people. These are my people. Read that genealogy. You're my people. Moses, Aaron, your brother, is my people. He says, they do not belong to Pharaoh. Listen, what is God saying? God is saying, I can make a list of all of my people if I want to. Do you know that God can really do that? He can make a list. He can show all of the pedigrees. God is saying, I could go all the way back to Adam if I wanted to and list all the people. And you know what? It doesn't mean that they were all believers either. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, this ownership, this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Amen. And may I say, the Lord also knows those who are not his. God knows all those things. Isaiah 43:1 says, I have called you by name. You are mine. God says, you are mine. Does God have you tonight? Does he have you? Do you know him? Are you born again? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Listen, if you don't belong to God, you belong to someone else. It's better to belong to the Lord. Amen. It says, now, look at verse 28. Now, on the basis, see, of all these credentials that the Lord just read, this Moses' genealogy, now God is going to renew the command to Moses again. In verse 28, and it came to pass, on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord. I am the ever-present one. I'm the one who cares for his people, who comforts his people, who fulfills all of his promises. I'm the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. This is a heartbreaker. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? Doesn't that just break your heart? You know, I look and I say, Moses, why? And you know what? We would probably do the exact same thing, wouldn't we? You know, I look at that and I say, you know, I just say, Moses, don't worry. Your faith is going to be renewed. God said, let my people go. And you know what? Pharaoh is going to be very soon more than happy to let God's people go. You know, there's nothing like plagues of blood and frogs and lice and flies and diseased livestock and hail and locusts and darkness and death to change anyone's mind. Amen. And that's exactly what we're going to find out. Let my people go. Tonight we prepare our hearts to celebrate the Lord's table. You see, because we have been taken out of bondage. We're not of this world anymore. Amen. Gentlemen, let's come forth on tonight, please. You know, we're the people of God. We're the people that God has set free. And, you know, whether you know it or not, and whether you believe it or not, God has set you free. He has set you free. He's cut the chains off us. We're not in bondage anymore. Listen, Jesus' cry from the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. I could say it like this. Let my people go. They're now free. Those who put their trust in me. You know, the Bible says there back in Exodus 6:6 where I was reading, and it says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You know, Jesus has set us free. We're no longer a slave of sin. We're no longer a slave of the devil. We're not a slave of this world. And I'm so thankful that all of that sin was placed on our Lord. Amen. Oh, let's be faithful tonight as we celebrate all that God has done. When we hold that bread and the cup in our hand, let's be forever mindful of what it means. God says in verse 6, he says, I will rescue you from their bondage and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Tonight, we are the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. And I say amen to that. You know, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, meaning our Lord, it says, in him we have redemption. We have. That means it's a present reality. It's a past act. It's a present reality. We have been liberated. We have been set free tonight. And redemption is found in no other than our Lord. It says we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. By his blood. Acts 20:28 says that he purchased the church with his own blood. Let me say something to you tonight now. Jesus did not enter in what come from heaven and enter into what we call time and tell us, save yourselves. He didn't do that. He didn't say, work real hard. And if you work hard enough, well, maybe you could save yourself. If you try hard enough, maybe I can love you. He didn't say that, did he? He said, just add up. Just set yourself free and then I'll accept you. He didn't say that. I hear people all the time say, I don't go to church because if I did, the roof would fall in when I walked in. All the things I've done. No, Jesus will take all that sin. Amen. You see, he didn't say work real hard. It says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says in Matthew 20:28, just as the son did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. Satan has no authority over the believer. Amen? Even sin has no authority unless we give it place. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you were bought at a price. Bought at a price literally means means to be bought at the slave market. We've been taken off the market, amen? We belong to the Lord. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. There are only two kinds of people on this earth. Two kinds of slaves. We're either a slave of the devil or a slave of God. Amen. We need revival. We need revival. There needs to be in all of our hearts a renewed excitement about the Lord. Let's not grow weary in well-doing. It's so easy to do, isn't it? Never stopping, never slowing down. Seems like, you know, you just get home and then the alarm clock goes off. It's time to go to work. It seems like, where did May go? We're at the end of May. And then we're going to be going, we're at the end of June if the Lord tarries, you know. And it just, time just keeps marching on. It goes so quickly. Sometimes I pray, Lord, can we slow things down? Can we just slow things down to where you do smell the roses? Where you do relax a little bit? Where you just rest? Well, true rest is only found in the Lord. Amen? So tonight, as we hold this cup and we hold this bread, is all that we do, we're about to do in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. I tell you tonight that no weapon formed against you can prosper. It may feel like it. It may even look like it. But it'll never prosper against you. I tell you, you're covered in the blood of Jesus. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven is your eternal destiny and your home. Stand up and put on the armor of God. Pick up the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. Renew your minds to the Word of God. Pray in the morning. Treat the throne of grace as an honor and a privilege. Go to your Father in heaven by virtue of our relationship with Jesus through His blood. Enter into the Holy of Holies, the very dwelling place of God, your Father. Visit Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him all of your woes. Just like a little child would crawl into the lap of his daddy and say, "Daddy, look at my bicycle. It's all broken. It's all messed up." You know, just that sincere faith of a child and say, "Lord, help me." I'll tell you, He's here to help you tonight. He's here to touch you tonight. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we hold this bread, You said, "Take, eat, this is Your body which is broken for You. And as You do, do this in remembrance of Me." Tonight, Father, we partake of this bread, the bread of life. And we do it, Lord, in remembrance of all that You've done for us upon the cross. And we praise You and honor You. In Jesus' name, let us partake. It says in the same manner, it says that Jesus, He also took the cup after supper and He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Lord, tonight as we hold this cup in our hand, without the shedding of blood, You said there's no remission of sin. We're so thankful that You've taken our sin, our transgression, our iniquity. We thank You that in turn You gave unto us, into our account, if you will, imputed to us, the righteousness of Christ, His perfect sinless record. Lord, let Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, as we share communion tonight together, let this place be a river of blessing. Let this place be a river of Your divine grace. Let this place become an overflowing river of Your compassion and Your healing and Your comfort. Oh God, let this place become the supernatural dwelling place of God. That, Father, that You move among Your people in the miraculous, that You heal the diseased and heal the sick, that You set the captives free. Oh God, move again among Your people. We proclaim all that until You come. And we love You and praise You tonight. Let us partake. Lord, we love You and we praise You tonight. We look to You and to no one else. We're so thankful that You died on the cross for our sins and that You've carried our sins as far as the east is from the west, away from us. That now we're accepted in Christ, knowing that You'll always be here for us and we're always under Your watchful eye. Bless Your people tonight, Lord. And strengthen them. Strengthen all that they do. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen. Amen.